Hey, welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, how are you? What's going on?
I'm doing okay. My right thumb, right knee, left Achilles are all in pain. And Michelle knows why, because we had some serious hooping last night. With Michelle and Ryan and me, and we won. So that's what really matters, is that we won.
Yeah, but, and Michelle almost got a concussion.
Oh, good.
Was that my pass that went off your head?
I don't think. I think it was the other guy, and then he was fully bodying me and had about 55 pounds on me, and that's when I had to just check myself out. I put myself on IR and said, you know what? I think I just need to stick with playing with people I know. Because I was scared out there.
Hey, but you got the dub first. You got the dub first. That's what matters, you know?
Sounds like it was pretty intense.
It was good. I mean, it was one of those things where it's like, that's what I said afterward to Michelle and Ryan. I'm like if I did this every day, like, I'd be, you know, be like Mr. Goodbody, you know? I'd have like a health show or something, you know? So,
yeah.
It's just hard to do it every day, but yeah, good, some good hooping on the day of, you know, of the NBA draft.
Yeah, absolutely. On the day of the NBA draft, Banchero going number one overall to the Orlando Magic. So God bless him. Wish him good luck with the Orlando Magic. That'll be fun. Chet Holmgren at number two to the Oklahoma City Thunder. So my brother, very happy, big Oklahoma City Thunder fan. Big day in the draft yesterday for the Thunder.
Yeah, well, first of all, Banchero, of course, is like a, you know, is a surprise.
Yeah.
It's kept quiet all the way till the end.
There was a point honestly, yesterday, Joe, that you could have gotten plus 600 odds for Banchero going number one overall.
Plus what?
Plus 600.
Oh, my goodness. That's wild. And I don't know. Stuff like that is interesting to me because it's like, what is the point of, you know, of the secrecy, but a little bit of a surprise there. You know, locally, the Grizzlies getting Kennedy Chandler. I gotta say I like that a lot for the Grizzlies, man. You know, it's tough for him, obviously. You want to get that first round landing, get the 2-year guaranteed deal out of it. I'm not worried about Kennedy Chandler sticking in the NBA. You know, I think he's gonna be just fine, and that's a great value for them. That to me, I think he's going to end up, you know, replacing Tyus Jones as John Morant's number two.
Were you surprised he dropped out of the first round?
Yeah, a little bit. That had kind of been the word, is that, you know, he had dropped a little bit based on everything, based on workouts and all that stuff. You know, yeah, a little bit surprised that he went that far. And I still think with him, well, look, I think with him and I think with Scottie Pippen Jr., that, it, you know, the height is a tough thing. You know, the height is something that probably scared some teams off, and a few more inches of height, you know, and you're probably in a different position, but I think that's a good deal for, you know, it's a good deal for him. I think now sometimes like the player going back to the hometown, that can be a lot of distraction, right? Because it's like you got your buddies in town and everything. And sometimes, I mean, I've seen that not work out well in pro sports. But Kenny Chandler is a very mature kid, and I think it's going to be a really good situation.
By the way, Scottie Pippen Jr. signing a two-way deal with the L.A. Lakers. So it looks like he will at least be in the Lakers organization. I would be pretty surprised if he's in the NBA next year, but we'll be with the Lakers organization nonetheless. So who knows? The way the Lakers season went last year, maybe you get halfway through the year next year and it's Scottie Pippen Jr. to LeBron on a few feeds.
You never know. And of course, that's also technically going back home for him. Actually, do you know the off the top of your head the Lakers G League team?
I do not.
Are they like is it like the Bakersfield Jam? There is a Bakersfield Jam. You know, look, I think Scottie Pippen is going to be in the NBA eventually. I think you're probably right. Like, I think there's, you know, next year I could definitely see him doing a lot of G League. You know, and you could make the case with him. Well, look, you can make the case with Chandler right now. Man, one more year, you might have been a lottery pick. And I think that's true. While making NIL money, you know, you could make the case with Scottie Pippen right now. Another year of school, get closer to your Vanderbilt degree, and get your Vanderbilt degree and make NIL money. It's not like totally hurting for money anyway. And then, you know, maybe now I think with Pippen, it'd probably be harder to make the case that you would have vaulted in the draft. I think with Chandler, another year, you know, another year of strength and everything like that, one to two year, a lot of times is a big difference. I don't know that Pippen would have elevated his stock much. I mean, there's going to be questions about his size and everything, his defense, all that stuff in the NBA. So either way, I think that he's going to get there. He's just too crafty a player not to. He's got to become a 45% or so three-point guy. That's what he's got to do to play at the highest level.
By the way, shout out to the Miami Heat with their first pick overall, Nikola Jovic. Not Jokic, Jovic from Serbia. One letter away from greatness.
That won't be that won't be confusing or anything.
No. I'd like triple take last night when I saw it. I was like, wait a minute, what now? They got Jokic? What just happened?
Hey, maybe he'll be better than Jokic. Jovic will actually be better than Jokic. You just don't know.
Pretty confident.
That'd be tough.
That'd be tough.
Yeah, it would be tough.
So Bill Haslam, Herb Fritch, David Poyle, and Sean Henry speaking yesterday at Bridgestone Arena for the Nashville Predators. They were it was kind of an interesting format with them all kind of going at the same time yesterday, but you made the rounds, got to all of them, I think. Way to go, Joe, first off. What kind of stood out to you from the Bill Haslam, Herb Fritch stuff on the surface? And we'll take a deep dive as the segments continue here. By the way, one-on-one with David Poyle that we have coming up at 7 o'clock here on the show today.
Yeah, and not to give that away, I won't, but that if you want to say what really stood out about everything, that's still the more pressing news, right, is, you know, the situation with Forsberg. I saw you over there getting a one-on-one. I was like, there you go, Robbie, see? Because, you know, those of us who are like media moths immediately flock to the light of Bill Haslam.
Yeah.
And you did that. And Jared went to Herb Fritch. And I think we'll play that sound later, too. You know, the Jared got I think it was the first question to Herb about, well, what we've been talking about, right? About ownership. I've been clamoring for it. A lot of other people have been clamoring for it. Ownership talked yesterday. So got that, check that box. And he was asked about David Poyle because that's still, I mean, though, like the future of the hockey operations and the future of this roster with starting with number 9 and where that will go. I mean, those are still the big pressing things now. As far as, Haslam and Fritch, yeah, I mean, Haslam was good at his thing. There's a few things about this that I feel like I have a better handle on how things are going to look moving forward. And I do think, I guess if I had a prevailing takeaway, I think that over time, Haslam is going to be the face, the voice, and probably more associated like a traditional sports owner than the Preds have had since Leopold. That's my guess. And I think some of that is simply because he's just a lot, you know, he's comfortable being a voice. I think that he will want to be a voice and be out front. And Herb Fritch just didn't, you know? And I think that, And that was always the word. It was good for Herb to get out there yesterday, and he did a good job of answering questions, everything. But I think for Bill Haslam, yeah, obviously you've been a governor of a state. you're in that family. You are you're very comfortable in that role. And I think we can maybe get to this next segment, but I feel like I have a better handle on like how everything will work and even has worked with that ownership group a little bit.
And we will get to that coming up next. Take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game.
Why a couple-year process? Why not just sell the majority stake now?
Well, you know, there was no urgency. I'm happy doing what I'm doing. I'm happy to be an owner of the Predators. I thought it would be nice to have a pretty smooth transition where I'm looking forward over the next 3 years to working with Bill and having him jointly make a lot of the decisions. So I didn't have any urgency. I actually, in my mind, my goal was to say over 4 or 5 years to do a phase transition. Part of the negotiations, Bill wanted to do it sooner than later, so I moved my time frame up and we compromised and said let's do it over 3 years, so which is fine.
That was Herb Fritch yesterday at Bridgestone Arena speaking with Jared Stillman, kind of talking about the transition plan that's in place for the Predators with he and Bill Haslam. By the way, so the best Joe that I could kind of come up with the plan yesterday was basically Haslam, and the paperwork's not officially done yet, but basically he's going to be a minority owner, and over the course of the next 3, maybe 4 years, he's going to transition into the majority ownership with the Nashville Predators. So it's going to be kind of a relatively slow process of Haslam taking over as majority owner, but that's kind of the timeline that the Predators are looking at right now. And, you know, Herb Fritch was talking yesterday as well. You know, he basically began this process about 6 months ago, and Bill Haslam was a name that came to mind, and those two got together and they met, and Haslam called it an easy decision for him yesterday as well. So just for timeline's sake, that's kind of the timeline of what all's gone into this decision.
Yeah, I went over and talked to Herb, and he also said at that point that he called three people. So there were three people that came to mind for him as people who were local, who had funding, and who might be interested. Unfortunately, he did not say the other two people. I'd love to know who the other two people were.
Can you confirm or deny that Rex Road, you were a part of it?
I can't, I don't want to be boastful. Okay.
All right.
But hey, I have lived here for 6 years and I'm pretty much loaded. So
he's working on getting WNBA team here.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. So I mean, it's totally understandable you would ask that question. But yeah, so who would the other, like, who comes to mind there?
I don't know.
Haslam, like if someone said to me before this that he's going to do this, I think I would immediately go to Haslam.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, there's always Dolly Parton.
I mean, seriously though, that's,
I'm not joking.
Right? That, yeah. And that's the, of course, there are also other people with a lot of money who aren't as public, you know, as like those two, for example, but yeah, he went to him, and a few things, and it's working out. Like you said, it'll be a transition. He'll be majority owner. A few things that conversations with several people yesterday. Another thing that Herb told me that I thought was interesting, because I asked Bill Haslam and Herb Fritch about the decision making, because it's just interesting to me. Now, how will this go down that way? Will it be more like, Bill Haslam basically calling the shots. Now, the point was made to me, but Sean Henry made the point to me, you know, really, if you look at most pro sports franchises, it's an ownership group situation to some extent, right? And I get that. I guess I have looked at this one a little differently, probably because of its origins and because we've seen the power, so to speak, change hands just in the last few years, right? I mean, Tom Segaran was the chairman, not majority owner, but the chairman, which put him out front. Herb Fritch, majority owner, then he becomes chairman and along with being the majority owner. So we've seen with this ownership group an apparent, you know, change in like who calls the shots. But what Herb told me that really clarified it was basically it sounds like Herb and Tom have kind of been doing that together. You know, yeah. Now granted, they do take in the input, but as Herb said yesterday, you know, you got 17 people, you got 10 families, you got 17 people. You're going to have a hard time coming to a consensus on things. They also haven't really had huge things, you know? I mean, the huge thing they did was save this franchise and keep it in Nashville. And they should always be remembered that way and appreciated that way. I mean, Bill Haslam said accurately, actually, I think it was on DDC yesterday, you know, like, I mean, basically, like, I'm coming in like when things are good, you know, yeah. The value has gone way up. Those folks put their necks on the line to keep this franchise in Nashville. So I mean, they did serious heavy lifting and should always be remembered for that. Bill Haslam is, you know, the manifestation of the success. I mean, he is what happens. You can get someone like him to now invest and give you the security, which I still think is the biggest thing by far here, is that if and when things cycle down, we don't have to hear a bunch of this team's looking for an expansion franchise, or, you know, the Preds are really in trouble financially. They've got serious back, and that's still bigger than anything else, but I'm taking a long time to get around to this. I do think that over time, Bill Haslam will be not just majority owner, but I would wager he'll be chairman, which would technically give him final say. And I think that he'll probably be a little bit more like a traditional sports owner than I would have guessed, you know, immediately. That's what I think.
That's kind of the read that I've got on it too. Now, I will say this, like, I think for people expecting him to come in when he takes over as majority owner and just start making like big decisions left and right on like hockey personnel, I don't think that's happening. Like, he basically said yesterday a few different times that, you know, this is going to be kind of a learning process for him, but he's pretty new to this and pretty new to hockey in general. So it's not like, you know, I don't think Bill Haslam's going to be in the meeting room tomorrow, you know, going over the contract with Philip Forsberg, like sitting down and breaking down annual average value for him. Like, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I mean, if there was one thing that I took away from yesterday on that front, and Jared talked about this, and Jared and Caroline talked about this a lot yesterday on the show, Herb Fritch loves David Poile, and Bill Haslam's got a lot of respect for David Poile. So, like, I would imagine, like, if you're expecting Bill Haslam to come in and just tear things down immediately, it's not going to happen.
No. And he has said, I mean, he is a hockey – by the way, for people who didn't know, and honestly, I didn't know this until he said it yesterday, you know, Bill Haslam did play Pee Wee hockey.
He did.
So I got to say, like, someone that age in East Tennessee playing Pee Wee hockey, that's –
probably the most shocking thing that was said yesterday.
I mean, like, how many people were playing Pee Wee hockey then?
I don't know.
Like, what was the league looking like back then? That's impressive, man. He's been a Preds fan. I mean, so it's not like he's a complete hockey neophyte or anything, you know? But at the same time, there's a big difference between I played some hockey, I like some hockey, and, you know, I'm running a team. And look, that's also another thing with this, you know, with Haslam, So I'm trying to figure this out. Let's see, 58. So he would have been playing Pee Wee hockey, like, say, I don't know, like in the late 60s in Knoxville, Tennessee. You know, like, so right around the time, like, the league expands to St. Louis, and, you know, it goes from the original six to expansion in 67.
Yeah.
Bill Haslam is out there, you know, maybe he's trying to, like, emulate Terry Crisp grinding forward for the St. Louis Blues. Who knows? Well,
who wouldn't?
Right. Who wouldn't want to do that? Yeah. There are a couple things yesterday that I understand why they are brought up about Bill Haslam. Okay. Like I understand why they're brought up, and Jared brought one of them up when he came over. Jared, like I said, started out with Herb Fritch. We're going to run that sound later, but then Jared came over and asked a question, which, again, I don't have a problem with the question. I think it's fine to ask the question, but at the same time, you know, there are two things that are obvious. Like, Joe Dubin's like, okay, let's do the bingo before he starts talking. You know, and he went through five things, and I was like, yeah, pretty much. I think they were probably all asked, but two things in particular that I've heard about Bill Haslam that, frankly, to me, are absolutely meaningless. Like, absolutely mean nothing at all, in my opinion, about his ownership with the Nashville Predators. And that's an incredibly long and drawn out tease by me.
Thank you. Rex Rhodes throwing out the tease today. I love it. We'll get to that coming up next. We'll take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on 1025, 1063, The Game.
From the hockey standpoint, you let Sean run the business side, you let David run the hockey side. David said at his end of the year press conference that he's got the full support of ownership. Fans obviously want to see success. What is it about David that you believe in to keep him in that position?
Well, he's certainly got the track record. You know, he's a known quantity. He's been doing this. He's won more games than any other GM in history. You know, we're executives. I've got a lot of expertise in healthcare. If you ask me a healthcare question, I'll tell you what to do, but I understand what I don't know about hockey and the ins and outs and long-term contracts and player assessments. And yeah, you have opinions as fans, but it's become a particularly important in this situation where we've got 10 families with an ownership stake and 17 individuals that attend our ownership meetings. Everyone has opinions. And at the end of the day, I wouldn't hire any of them, with all due respect, to be my general manager. I mean, we've come to appreciate that while we all have opinions, David's the hockey expert in the room. And I want him to hear our opinions. But at the end of the day, he's got to make those calls and make those decisions. And it's not something that we should be doing, or even if we could.
That was Herb Fritch yesterday on David Poile and kind of the roles that the Predators have with the way that they do business and run things. Joe, what, you know, obviously Jared was talking to Herb Fritch there. They talked about kind of that exchange a lot yesterday on Stillman and Company. What did you make of that question and Herb Fritch's response to it as it relates to David Poile and the support that he has for ownership?
Well, I think, first of all, it obviously it takes a huge situation like this, right? I mean, it takes a pretty significant transition for the Preds, you know, for Herb Fritch to talk. Just too bad, because he was good. And I am glad that he did speak, because I think it's important. I think it's important for ownership to speak on things like this, especially when you're in a situation as a franchise where your GM is embattled. And David Poile is. He's an embattled GM, at least publicly. I think that those words from Herb Fritch probably kind of make it clear that He's not embattled internally. And I'm not surprised to hear that. So I never expected personally really for the last year and a half on and off, and really Adam Bingen, you know, leading sort of this idea, at least in terms of some of the stuff he wrote, The Athletic, but I never thought during that time while clamoring for ownership to speak that they would come out and say, we're really disappointed in David Poile. And I just want you to know, folks, every day he's very close to being fired. It's just right on the borderline, and you know, we'll let you know. We'll send out a tweet if he's actually going to be fired.
Right.
You know, you don't expect anything. And honestly, even if an AD is about to fire a coach or an owner is about to fire a GM or coach, usually you still get like some like public, you know, the kiss of death, right? Like the public backing. But this from Herb Fritch was, I mean, I agree with Jared on this. I mean, I think it's pretty clear. You know, they have faith in him. He's not in jeopardy. I don't think that he would be in jeopardy right now. Now, I would also argue that, you know, if next year goes to the point where they don't make the postseason, where they have a bad year, if they don't have Philip Forsberg on the roster next year because David Poile loses him in the next month or so, I don't think you can sit here and say right now with absolute certainty they would never do anything. But right now, I mean, the way he described it there is an ownership group that's like, David's the winningest GM ever. He's great. He knows hockey. We don't. Yay, David.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much the way that I read it yesterday. And, you know, I'm interested to see, does that ever change with Haslam coming in? But that's not going to change anytime soon. Exactly. With Haslam coming in. Like, this is going to be a multi-year process to the point where, you know, by the time Haslam is really established, that could be 3, 4, 5 years down the road. And who knows what the team's going to look like at that point. So I don't know. It feels like David Poile's on pretty sturdy ground right now with the ownership group was kind of one of the takeaways that I had yesterday. And, you know, I get it. Like, if you're – he's obviously safe for this year, so it's not like something – anybody's going to come out and say anything to the contrary in the ownership group. But that kind of felt a little – it kind of felt a little extra other than just, oh, yeah, he's safe for this year.
I agree, but that's where I do – that's where I differ because Jared then went to – so you can count on Poile being the GM for the next 3 years, essentially.
Right.
And I don't necessarily agree with that. It's just hard. It's hard to know exactly how the discussions change at the ownership level if things bottom out. And I think we were getting to that in the early stages of the 2020-21 season before they just had that pretty dramatic turnaround. So until it gets to that point, because that what happens then, of course, is if you have a losing team and you all of a sudden you're going to see that in the stands, you know, right? I mean, you're going to see it. You're going to see it with any sports franchise. You're going to see the impact pretty quickly in the attendance and in everything that goes around with following a team. We can't, to me, like, even though I agree that was extra yesterday and it wasn't all that surprising, but it was pretty well laid out. Like, I, you know, the whole, like, you want to ask me about healthcare, you know, he also, you know, Herb Fritch dropped the Jerry Jones reference,
yeah,
which of course is the classic. That's everybody's example of like the meddling owner. Right. But it's not like Jerry Jones is the only owner who thinks they know a little bit about the sport of the team they own, right? No. I mean, so, you know, that was the absolute other end of the spectrum from like the Jerry Jones mindset. Also, I agree with you for sure. Like, you know, Bill Haslam's not going to be in position to just say we're doing this
right
for a few years. He will have some input,
sure.
Like he will have a role and power, you know, like some say, but again, technically you could say that about the rest of the ownership group too. But I would say, yeah, Poile this tells me Poile is sturdy. Like you said, he's, I mean, right now, we know he's going to be the GM this offseason. We know he's going to be the GM next year. I think next year could still, you just don't know how things, if things fall completely off the rails, then I still think someone like a Herb Fritch, Tom Seger, and, you know, whoever could still change their minds on a David Poile.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a text that says, one thing became very clear after listening to the owner talk about the GM. They are sticking with him because they are comfortable with him. There are other general managers who have hockey knowledge, but the ownership group sounds like they're hesitant to make any changes out of fear of their lack of knowledge of the game. This is coming from a texter on the text line. I believe Joel in Whitehouse.
I think that there's probably some level of, I mean, comfortable with them. I think there's some level of truth there, but it's also, I mean, it's almost like, you know, it's almost like there's a lot of talk yesterday about, man, and Bill Haslam said a lot of it. You know, you got to appreciate these guys, what they did, you know, for this franchise. I think there's some of that too, right? I mean, yeah. With Poile, there's the look at what he did for so many years. Look how he navigated this team and built some really good teams at times under less than ideal circumstances to build a team in this league. And, you know, this is where you'll differ. There's probably some, like maybe a Herb Fritch is like, you know, the Stanley Cup finals only 5 years ago. Well, I think fans, and I think rightfully, are looking at the direction and the specific moves that have not worked out. And there's quite a few of them, and say, this is going in the wrong direction. I mean, that's the difference. So I think there's some level of truth there on the comfort thing, but I also think that there's, I still think that there's probably a lot of belief in him based on the entire track record. There's some fans who feel that way too, by the way.
Yeah, for sure. Craig on the text line says, do you think part of the reason they might be hesitant to change is exactly what was said? He doesn't know everything about hockey and maybe doesn't know how or who to go get a new GM. See, I've heard that theory thrown out there before, that like if the Predators decided to make a move on David Poile, like would the ownership group know what to do to go get the new general manager? And my response has always been, well, I mean, Sean Henry's right there. They know who to get in contact with around the league if they want to go look for a new general manager. Like if they're going to hire a new general manager, my guess is it would probably not have been Herb Fritch like leading the charge of who to go hire. It would have probably been Sean Henry, would be my guess.
Exactly. I mean, that's part of why that role, and Sean Henry, of course, has been in hockey a long time. He's been in pro sports a long time. I mean, and look, you also, by the way, when you do a search like this, you get a firm, I mean, all that stuff. So like if you were just sticking with like whoever owns a particular team, you'd have a lot of issues. You'd have worse hires than you do already in pro sports. I assume this is what the Detroit Lions have done for their entire history.
Well, could be.
Just whichever Ford happens to be closest to a phone, just call Matt Millen and let's give it a roll, baby. You know, I mean, so, you know, just depends on the org, but yeah, they have people who, and frankly, I mean, look, what's the bucket of like potential candidates if you fired David Poile? I mean, you're probably talking about 4 or 5 people, right?
Right.
Like realistically, who would be available and willing and have the resume to measure up. So, now I still have these 2 points. This is 2 straight teases for me, Robbie.
Well, yeah, we'll get,
I still like have it. These 2 points about Bill Haslam that I want to make that are basically irrelevant.
Good. We'll get to that coming up next.
Let's make some irrelevant points next on the show.
This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And, you know, Joe and I have been doing a show together for a long time now. I don't know if I've ever been more excited for Joe to get to 2 points that he wants to make in my life, more than I am right now. Joe's hyped this thing up for 2 segments in a row. And now it's finally time for it, Joe. I'm ready.
Crap, now I forgot him. All right. Yeah, that's way too much tease for like this is like a fast food burger commercial, you know?
Yeah.
Like you see him and it's like the glistening, humongous patty. Oh my God, the bacon is just popping and it's massive, and then you actually get the real thing and it's like the where's the beef commercial.
Yeah, the cheese is perfectly melted on the commercial, and then you get it and it's not even on there. You're like, oh, okay, cool.
But yeah, so two things about Bellhasm that were asked, and yes, I think Joe Dubin on his bingo, he had like a bingo of five things that he had these two. One of them is the question of I think the more reasonable thing to ask, you know, Jimmy Haslam, and actually I think Steve Lehman, I like how he asked the question. It was sort of like, basically like, you've seen your brother be a professional owner. Has that, you know, how has that made you feel about it, essentially? And, you know, Bill talked in very much generalities about, you know, like Bill Haslam did not get into, you know, I told Jimmy this Deshaun Watson deal, I don't know, man, I think that might be a mistake, buddy. No, he talked in generalities about that and basically tried to, like, you know, push the question aside, which I get. But I had a mailbag this week at The Athletic, okay? And I was asked this question there, which was basically, well, I guess I should probably go see exactly how it was phrased. I was asked about Bill Haslam in relation to Jimmy Haslam. You know, essentially,
they are brothers. They are brothers.
Thank you. Yeah. So Joel B, this is the question I got in the mailbag. Quote, seriously, how will Bill Haslam run the Preds differently than the current owners of it all? Oh, no, wait. No, I'm sorry. No, here we go. No, that's not it. Here's the question from George S. Quote, I hope Bill Haslam doesn't run a sports franchise like his brother, maybe de rigueur commentary. Very fancy, George. Nice. But it's ultimately a lazy shot at Jimmy Haslam and the Cleveland Browns and a dumb take to boot. That said, what, in your view, if anything, should we worry about? So, again, so the Haslam, and some people have just been like, ah, terrible move, Prez. Have you seen what he's done with the Browns? What are you doing? And plus, what's he going to live in Cleveland? Is he going to live in Nashville? Like, so some people really were off on this. The Jimmy Haslam, Bill Haslam thing, this is all I would say is, this is my answer, is I once worked at a golf course. And a couple years after I worked there, my little brother got the same job doing carts at this golf course. They could not believe he was my brother because he was responsible, professional, prompt. And he wasn't like taking lunchtime jaunts on the souped up golf cart. You know?
Yeah.
So that was my answer there. And I'll go beyond that. As a parent, I have two sons. I mean, they have the exact same environment. Like the exact same, you know, I put on the same, like, you know, Caillou. I'm just a kid who's four, whatever, on TV for them instead of parenting them, you know, while I was right, whatever. Could not be more different people. So point being, like, I understand it. I mean, of course, it's his brother. They're part of an extremely wealthy family. Their father started the Pilot Flying J station. I mean, so there's some shared experience, but it doesn't mean that there's really any relation from Jimmy Haslam's ownership to whatever Bill Haslam is going to be. And I don't know what it will be. I'm just saying that one is just – It just doesn't mean a ton. I don't think. You tell me if I'm wrong.
No, I totally agree. I don't think it means much. Also, it's very different in the NFL and NHL anyway. Like, it's two different worlds. So I think if that's your main concern about Bill Haslam, I guess I understand it to some degree, but I wouldn't spend too much time worrying about that.
And then the other thing, and Jared came over and asked about this, and I think that there's a little more to this just because he has actually been, like, he's a politician. He's a former governor. But Jared asked about, like, the differences of opinion of politics from people, you know, and I don't remember exactly how he phrased it, but it was basically the question of, you know, your politics, some people don't agree with it, maybe some people in the organization, et cetera, et cetera. How do you deal with that? I may have butchered that, but, you know, the point being, he asked him about the politics. And again, with Bill Haslam, I thought he kind of, you know, brushed it aside pretty well. Like he did, and I totally agree with Bill Haslam, say like, since he's been governor, since he has left the office, like this country is more polarized than ever. And he's right. He's 100% right. Since right around that time is probably when it really started. He was still in office, but it's gotten bad. But like the whole thing with his politics, again, he was a governor. So we actually know, like, he's done things right that are tied to his politics. So it's different. But if you like, have we ever talked about or cared about like the ownership group and what their politics are?
I don't think so.
I bet you some of them probably would be aligned with Bill Haslam. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter at all. It doesn't. It shouldn't matter. It doesn't matter. Again, I get the question. I'm not saying Jared asked a bad question. It's fine. It's fair, because I think it would be silly had he not been a politician. That does make it different. But I mean, it means nothing to me. I don't think it means anything at all in the context of a sports team trying to win and be a successful business. So those two things are, I hope that the tease was well worth that.
It was.
You know, they're just two things that are brought up. You knew they're going to be in the bingo. They were. They don't mean much. I do believe that Bill Haslam, I mean, it's going to be a little bit of a different feel. And I do think that as time goes on and there is a GM, you know, I mean, at some point, David Poyle is going to retire if he doesn't get fired, right? I mean, he's going to retire not too far down the road, I think. So at some point down the road, there's going to be coaches and GMs maybe not performing well or whatever's happening, or a team that's on a tear to the Stanley Cup final, whatever it is. I think Bill Haslam, the big change here is that I think he will be probably out front. I'm assuming like Craig Leopold was maybe back in the day to some extent.
Well, I will say Haslam did say yesterday on the DDC, I mean, Darren asked him basically about that in terms of being visible, addressing the media, things like that. And Haslam said, you know, he doesn't think it's appropriate to like have a press conference every day or anything, but meeting regularly with the media is something that he's going to do, is what he said. So, I mean, that by itself is different from what we've seen from Preds ownership in the past. Craig Leopold back in the day did do that. So it is more of kind of a throwback to the Craig Leopold days.
So I just got a text from Jared. So let's have a text fight.
Okay.
Here's the question from Jared. How's Bill Haslam going to react if someone protests the national anthem? It's very interesting because, and here we go with the humble brag. Okay.
Okay.
In the fall of 2017, I had lunch with Bill Haslam at the Southern. Basically I wrote a column about it, but he just wanted to talk about sports. And so I wrote a column and we talked a lot about that. I think it was like 2 days after the whole thing with the Seattle Seahawks and the Tennessee Titans. And this is written somewhere. I tried to Google it, I couldn't find it, but he actually essentially supported that stuff. So see, you just can't, you know what happens when you assume, you know what you do when you assume.
I think you just wanted to brag about you having lunch with Bill Haslam.
No, exactly. No, I appreciate that. Yeah, it was like Secret Service, and like he snuck in the back door, and we had a nice lunch, and then he'd like snuck back out with Secret Service. I was like, how did they do that, man? I didn't even know there was another door here. So
it's impressive.
Thank you for the humble brag opportunity, Jared. Yeah, it doesn't. Come on, Jared. I mean, again, I think it's fine to ask about that stuff. It's a one-time fine question. As we move forward, it's not going to mean a hill of beans.
Coming up next, we will get to my one-on-one with David Poyle from yesterday. Some interesting comments from David Poyle on a variety of fronts. We touch on the new ownership group with Bill Haslam coming in. We touch on Philip Forsberg's contract situation and his thoughts on Roman Josi finishing in second place in the Norris Trophy voting, including some very strong words from David Poyle on how the voting process takes place. We'll get to all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.